bags are packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Welcome to the Wife Savers Podcast, where multi-award-winning author and global marriage educator Ramona Zabriskie provides answers to your real wife questions. Our goal is to help you appreciate your womanhood, prioritize your personal development, and craft a powerful partnership with the man in your life. Hi, I'm Hannah Allen, and I'm proud to introduce my parents, Ramona and Dale Zabriskie. And yes, this is how they talk all the time. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Dale Zabriskie, sitting here across the table with Ramona Zabriskie.
Ta-da!
And we had our fun Valentine's tradition last night.
You're not going to tell them about that.
No, not that one. No, the one that happened at the store. The much less private one that we had.
Scared me for a minute.
No.
Oh, yes. We went shopping.
We went shopping and...
Fred Meyer.
And got some, went for the Valentine cards.
Yeah. Okay. So you can explain this?
Yeah.
Okay. So we go to the card section.
I guess you're going to explain it.
Right. I'm just setting you up. We go to the card section together.
The Valentine card section, which is kind of funny last night because you couldn't find it. And you were lost in the mid of cards.
I was in the birthdays with the grandmas and the nieces and nephews.
It's out here where everybody can see it. It's
on the main aisle.
That's right. It's the most obvious section.
Next to all the flowers, balloons, and candy.
It's the one guy who has to rearrange the cards every week, so depending on the holiday.
What a terrible job that must be.
No kidding. So we go to the card section.
Right.
And then we each look for our cards.
I look for a card for you.
Right. And I look for a card for me, too. for you.
Right.
That's right. And then, now you can explain what we do.
And then, after we find the perfect card to express our deepest, most heartfelt longing for one another.
That's why I had you explain it.
All perfectly encapsulated in a card.
Yes.
In the exact right verbiage and images and colors and maybe even sound and smells. Some of them.
Getting really fancy these days. Scratch and sniff cards. There.
And then we turn to each other with moist eyes.
Going a little far.
Beating hearts. And
we exchange them. That's right. Here. You have your card. I'll take mine.
Exactly.
And then we read them.
And then.
Privately. That's right.
Yes. In the middle of the store.
That's right.
And then we read them tenderly.
Oh, yes. Tenderly. Excuse me.
With great meaning.
And emotion.
We extract every possible nugget of truth in them. And then. And then?
Then we put them back on the shelf. And we go to dinner.
And it didn't cost anything.
That's right.
This is our tradition.
That's right.
And it's rather brilliant, I think.
And it started when we had zero money. And it's just kind of stayed there.
Who's going to pay $7 or $8?
I know. It's crazy.
Maybe you will.
And it could be some of the best $7 or $8 you've ever spent.
Yes. Right. We just kind of found a way to cheat the system.
That's right. And I gave her a Star Wars Valentine's card.
That was your joke card. Well, it's okay. You can have a joke card and a real card.
That's the other advantage. You can have more than one card.
That's so true.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool. So we had the good laugh over your Star Wars Valentine's card with the pop-up R2-D2.
That's right. Yeah, there it is.
And then we opened. Then you gave me the one that had Paris on it, right? And glitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Of course, you have no memory of the card I picked for you, but that's okay. It's all about the moment.
It is the moment. That's right.
It is the moment. And I think we kissed.
Fleeting as it may be.
Did we not kiss?
Yes, we did.
Right there in the middle of the store.
It's on Instagram, I think.
Documented.
That's right.
For everyone.
Exactly.
Okay. Enough of that. We hope you had a really fun Valentine's Day if you're hearing this after the fact. If you hear it before the fact, that will be a miracle because it means we've got to work really fast to get this out there.
That's right. Maybe it's on Valentine's Day at any rate.
Well, we hope you had a nice one.
And, that's right.
And nice ones happen when we don't set our expectations sky high, right? We just love our guy for where he is and who he is.
R2-D2 card.
At the moment.
Hit the spot. Okay. That's right.
Well, anyway, hope it turned out. So you ready for this week's?
I am.
Wife Savers, throw me a Wife Savers.
I am here with bells on.
Question. Here we go.
Strategically placed, of course.
Just like your Cupid costume?
Well, you're kind of carrying the theme from last time.
Here it is.
Okay.
Throw me a Wife Saver. I don't know what my husband's quest is because I don't think he knows either.
That's believable.
For those who may be new to all things Ramona Zabriskie, I first coined this idea of the male quest in my book, Wife for Life, The Power to Succeed in Marriage, and must have made a very good case for it because we've sold a lot of copies of that book and get a lot of emails about it, and we've built a whole system of education based on many of the principles in that book, and one of them is the quest, how important a quest is to a man.
And maybe we take a moment here to define that for the context
here. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do in this podcast.
Yeah, but just real quickly, you know, what you teach and what women especially just really resonate to.
Well, the men are the one who resonate with
it. No, hear me out. The women do because of their relationship with their guy.
Okay, true. Fair enough.
That every guy's out there looking for the thing that really drives them and makes them happy and gets them up in the morning, however you want to define it.
Yeah, I like that way of describing it.
And you call it a quest.
Right.
And the women in the relationship, you say, have dreams, right? And how they work together and interplay and help each other achieve those dreams or those quests.
Right.
And so
exactly.
Somebody could call the guy has a dream that he's going to
You could
whatever.
Call it a dream for sure, but
The term quest really, it really applies.
It really does because it's more linear than a dream might be. It's very, very specific. It's self-contained, you know, one-directional. I use the Gulf Stream to try and help women understand. Or an arrow, shooting an arrow in the air. And that trajectory rarely varies once it's boing.
Once it's taken off.
It is taken off into
And that's part of our question
air.
Today.
And the real contention and behind how important the quest is to the man is that it's really important to the marriage.
Right. That's what I mean, the relationship between the two.
And this letter writer, and we could talk about that for a long time, but take my word for it, I've had tons of my own experience and the boatloads of
vicarious experiences
through all the women that I've worked with. In fact, I just got a wonderful email just very recently from a student. I'll call her a student, but she attended so many of my presentations whenever she could, a live presentation. And then she started participating in my educational programs online. Of course, she read the book repeatedly and so forth. And we had personal mentor meetings as well, eventually. And to think about where she started and where she is today is amazing. What's equally amazing is to think about where her guy was when she started and where he is today. He's finally has his own business going, and it's a very interesting field. I don't have time to go into it, but she says the clients are rolling in, the checks are rolling in, the happiness is rolling into their marriage. They have never been in such a solid place, such a good place. I mean, she sounds so
peaceful, content, and happy. It just blows me away.
And you've seen it from not the beginning of their marriage.
But when she began with me several years ago, actually, she was at it was a real crisis point where she felt like she couldn't rely on him for just about anything. And now she, this incredible, powerful couple has made things happen. And so a big piece of that was her guy and his quest, actually. Mm-hmm. It's really brought a lot of stability into that relationship. And I think that's what our letter writer is craving. Yeah. Let's read what she says. She says, "I don't know what my husband's quest is because I don't think he knows either." And that's a huge, I love it when women put things in all capitals so I know which words to emphasize. That's a big one. Huge is written in all capitals. That's a huge frustration in our marriage, and it's becoming a big problem. He's in his 40s, and I'm afraid he thinks he's run out of time.
Yeah, I can see that.
Find his quest. Yep. His employment is a chore for him right now, and it's really taking a toll on us financially as well as emotionally and mentally. Right?
Yeah, big stress.
The example I just gave, she said the clients are rolling in, the checks are rolling in.
That's not happening here.
No. They've really tried to figure this out. She says, we've taken classes and read books, and whenever we get to the part where he needs to identify his quest in whatever way they word it, he shuts down and we get stuck. It's been years. A big part of the reason I joined Wife Savers, so she's a Wife Savers member, right? Big reason I joined Wife Savers is in the hope that I can find a way to inspire him to discover and begin his quest. Hmm. Any advice? ?
Yes.
I'd say just about everything in her Wife Savers education is going to
help her.
Help her along these lines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is really, I think guys can really relate that when you hit 40,
ouch,
it's tough. I mean, I had a real hard time at 30 for different reasons. 40 for me was difficult. And if you feel like, you know, what am I doing? What have I done?
Right.
You know, what legacy do I have? And what's the future for me? Mm-hmm. That's really, really a hard time.
Do you find yourself comparing yourself?
Oh, yeah. You're always comparing. Okay. Always comparing.
What other guys have done and what other guys have.
That was my issue at 30. And then, you know, it's all about, it's keeping up with the Joneses, however you want to define that. And that's harder for some than it is for others. And I don't know if that's really the case here, obviously. Uh-huh. But when you hit that 40 and you're not feeling like, you know, because you only have a limited time left, you know, right, to energy-wise and financially and all those things, it's a real, real critical time.
But how many young men think they know what they want to do? What percentage, I wonder, really, who land on exactly the right thing when they're 19, 20, they come out of college, they're right, they hit the ground running. How many, you know, personally, one of your closest friends is an anesthesiologist, is he not?
Yeah.
Who wonders if he did the right
thing.
Yeah,
I mean, he's in it. He's in his 40s. And it's like, wow, you know, I'm in here now. I've done all this. I've spent all the money and the time, the years of education.
But I might have been happier doing something else.
So there's that. But there's also, to your point, I think most guys really don't know what they want to do. They go to school. You know, how many undeclared majors are there at universities around?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does take time to do that. One of my other good friends from years past came and got a master's of chemistry degree.
Interesting.
And now he's a chief technology officer for a technology company. You know, not using his chemistry very much. So, you know, time's a great thing. But right now for this situation and this couple,
it sounds like the family's suffering, the marriage is suffering because he's suffering.
Right.
And I think it's very admirable, don't you, of her to realize her part
you've helped her identify what it is, and they've worked at it, obviously.
Right. Maybe so. Yeah. Well, you say you can relate. I can relate from her point of view, definitely, right. Because we started off on shifting sand.
Yeah, I don't know.
We didn't really know who you were, what you're going to do. I think, if I remember, now this will surprise our listeners. When you first, we started first talking about even being married, you were telling me you were going to be an actor, I think. We're going to LA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Surprise.
Yeah, that's right. But that's very interesting because that was the thing. I was a horrible student. I think, a lot of people are good students and they mm-hmm. get through school. Mm-hmm. High school was the last vacation I ever had. And college was the second best vacation. I'm an 11th semester sophomore. And I really just failed at school. And so I came as a young adult. And when we met, I could charm people. I could stand up. I could memorize things. I could act. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, that's what I'm going to do because it's easy. Right? It doesn't take much. And that's what I was going to go do. Uh-huh. And I quickly realized.
And you promised me a house in Hollywood. Yeah, right. Beverly Hills.
Yeah, there ain't no money there. It's I can't remember if it was years ago. What were the statistics? It was like, this is a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
This is 40 plus years ago. The statistics were like in LA, there was like at any given time, there were 3,000 jobs available. Okay. And at any given time, there was like 30,000 people looking for those 3,000 jobs. Something like that. So that was your first clue.
But you could be one of them. And I said, okay.
That's it. Yeah.
I went for the ride, and what a ride it was. Do you know, your parents treated me, they're not with us anymore, but they treated me like an angel, did they not?
Well, you were the angel they were praying for.
I was the angel they were praying for. They knew that you were, they knew you were meandering.
That's a very kind way to put it.
Well, yeah, you were just a little lost. You were a little disoriented.
I was dragging myself out of ditches is what I was doing.
You were just a very young man, a very immature man.
Yep.
And you had really no clue how you were going to make it through this life, let alone establish a career of some kind. But they knew that that a good woman could solve everything.
Well, that's what happened to my dad. That's why.
It's true. Same story. And so when I came into your life, they thought this truly was literally the answer to their prayers. And they treated me like an angel ever after. And you went from being the family baby, right, to being the family man. And you had
a
nothing.
Long road.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You had no real education.
No education. Not real education.
You had nothing. Yeah. We had nothing in our pockets when we started out. But you knew you had to go somewhere. You knew you had to be somebody. You knew that there was a lot riding on you and what you were going to become. I wonder if that kind of pressure on a young man in particularly is a little paralyzing.
It is. I mean, it paralyzed me and we separated.
Yeah.
Right. And we were apart for a number of months. And it was during that time where I really kind of woke up to what you were just saying and saying, okay, I'm smarter than this. I can figure this out.
Okay.
We need to go. What do I like to do? And I had a number of things that I enjoyed doing. It wasn't all just...
Yeah, no. It wasn't that you couldn't do anything. Right. You had many, many talents. But it was how you were perceiving yourself and your responsibility mm-hmm. and your relationship to me all had to mature.
Right.
That tipping point that you just described was just a level of maturation.
Yeah, very much so.
But still, there are so many fears at play for a man in particular because... His self-worth, and this is all borne out by the research, right? The people who really research the male psyche and biology and so forth, that your identity as a man is based almost primarily on what you do. You identify yourself as of being of worth or not of worth in this world mm-hmm. by what you actually contribute, by external measurements.
Yes, and especially by other people. And even more especially by other men.
Oh.
I mean, think
you
about...
know, find your place in the world.
Yeah,
men,
absolutely.
That kind of thing.
And when two guys meet, what's the first question they ask each other?
What do you do?
Hi, I'm Dale. What do you do?
What right? do you do?
It's all based on what your job is and what your responsibilities are, because you're looking for common ground, right?
Right.
And what have you.
So the more time that passes, you mentioned the 30 mark, and then you mentioned the 40 mark. The more time that passes, the more that your self-respect not begins to erode. It's in jeopardy.
Well, right? Yeah, because if you're, you know, in the situation here of this question, you've got an individual who, and let's assume they married in their mid late 20s or something.
Okay.
Maybe they've been married for
that's probably
10 to 15
safe
years,
bet.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's a long time to be in a situation
yeah.
that, well, no, that's good. Well, I don't want to do this. I'm going to do that. I try that. And I can relate to his concerns because I think back to employment for me in the past of going, oh, this is the last thing I want to do, but I got to do it, you
yeah.
know. And then, and for some, they get stuck and feel, what's the word, beyond stuck? They feel beholden to just that.
The responsibilities.
The responsibility.
The responsibilities they have to their family.
Right. And you know, good.
And
you,
it works.
Yeah, you got to do
that's
that.
That's part of a
But what's lacking is the fulfillment and the enjoyment and,
right.
and all that. And if that goes on for a long time into your 40s, that, yeah, like we said before,
that's a scary,
really difficult.
Dismal,
yeah.
depressing.
And I have to say, I really didn't figure out what I was going to do till I was in my 40s. It really is true.
I'm so glad you admitted that.
No, it is.
I hope that's a boon to our letter
yeah,
writer.
It's true.
Because I remember giving a presentation once, and it included this idea of the quest, I believe. And afterwards, a woman waited a long time to talk to me. She wanted me to herself. So when everyone else had dispersed, she took me aside. We sat down. She had something very important to ask. And that very important thing that she wanted to ask was, okay, I believe all that you're saying about the male quest. How long did it take your husband to settle on something?
Right.
And I said, tell me what you do. And she said, I'm a divorce attorney. And I thought, okay. I better hurry this up. I got to come up with a good answer.
Max. Oh, hi, Susie. I haven't seen you for so long. Where have you been?
No, I knew I had to be honest.
Yeah,
I had to be
right,
honest
right,
with
right.
her. So I thought hard. And I had never really figured out in numbers. But as I sat there, I said, I think we started at, oh boy, about 15 years. Honey, she fell off the chair.
Yeah. It's true.
She just about fell off her chair. What? 15 years? The despair in her face.
Mm. I can't deal with
what's
that.
My message to someone like that? It's like, that's the process. It's not... It isn't about landing something right from the start and then
right.
boing, off we go on this straight line into the sunset, into prosperity and thriving and romance and all that. What it's about is growing together, maturing, his maturing as a man and your maturing as a woman, and the process of seeking out and finding and settling on and committing to, and the starts and the stops and the rewinds and the backs and the forwards and the molding that goes on into your dreams and his quest is the meat of a beautiful marriage, a lifelong marriage. And the marriages, if you look at a grand marriage where you have two silver-haired people way down the end of the line that are being interviewed by their local newspaper about how did they stay married for 75 years, and they remember, oh, I met her at the USO or whatever. They had no clue what they were doing when they started.
Right.
And they will tell you the story I just told you. This our same story. It was all of that when they needed each other that created that marriage.
Yeah, without question. I totally agree. And we've been living that here in examples. But the big problem is the perception for a guy out there. You just outlined it, right? You right. pick something, you go to school, you become a CPA or whatever.
It's so unfair.
And then you get the house and the car and the blah, blah, blah. And that's this picture that's driven into heads
right.
that we have to do. And when you don't line up with that, it's really difficult.
But how many people really do line up with that?
That's the thing. And that's what we've learned from our experience, but also what we've seen in so many others. And it's okay. It's okay, right?
Okay.
And the other thing I want to say, okay, I didn't figure out exactly what I wanted to do till I was in my 40s, but what I ended up doing was a conglomeration of everything I'd done before.
Hallelujah and amen.
See? So all the yes. stuff you're going through is worth
yes.
it and applicable and learning and growing. And now you're going to, the applicable aspect comes to play.
It's all part of it.
Bring it together. It all comes together.
It's part of the seeking. It's
yeah.
part of the finding. And I used the arrow analogy a minute ago. But the truth is, it's more like a video game where you're going up level by level by
yeah,
level, and there's
yeah.
all these detours, and oh, that didn't work, and oh, I barely escaped from that. And it's just, it's a quest to find a quest.
That's a good way to put it. And I like the video game analogy because not just today's video games, but all along is the development of those from the 80s, and I won't get into the technology about it. But
the
gamification aspect.
Oh.
As you achieve levels and you go up levels,
okay.
you bring with you stuff that you've gained from previous levels.
Oh, is that
you
right?
can't achieve level 5.
I don't even know that.
I know. That's why I'm telling you. You achieve level 5 because you did something in level 3 or you brought something with you from level 3 that
okay.
you now use on level 5. That's very, very real.
I think that could really be of help to our letter writer because she's making it sound like he's tried so many things. We've gone to so many classes. We've read so many books. And it sounds like it's all for nothing. It sounds like throw it out the window.
Exactly.
But what you're saying, and I totally agree, is that that's not a waste. That is
right.
all adding up.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, any Miss America, do they do Miss America anymore?
I don't even know.
I
think they're giving up on the swimsuit competition, but they do Miss America.
Rightly so. In the past, the Miss Americas never were a first-time pageant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they had
a rookie.
They
tried
out. They had lost so many pageants before they become Miss America.
They lost so many pounds? Is that what you said? No.
No.
Sorry.
I've lost so many pageants. And so, you know, that's a silly analogy to this, but it's true about anything.
Yeah,
any real, everything we do in life is aiming us towards what we can become.
Here's the good.
Our potential.
Current analogy, America's Got Talent, right?
Yeah, that's better.
They just shows up and just blows everybody out of the water.
Right.
Where'd you get this guy? Where has he been? Well, he's been working.
He's been on Broadway.
He's been on Broadway for 20 years. But to me, oh no, he's brand new. We found him. We're showcasing him. That's not
how true is that? That's true. Well, there's a lot of misconceptions that could be going on here that are kind of eating away at their confidence and their hope for the future.
Right.
So let's bust some of those myths. One of them was that everybody knows what they're doing early on and you've missed the boat.
Right.
That is a complete, absolute misnomer. Or that you're supposed to know. The only way you're going to, how are you supposed to know? Were you supposed to be just so smart? How many kids are so smart in high school?
Well, there's a number of them who believe that they are.
Thank you. But who actually zero in
no,
on,
it's so true.
I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of experimentation.
But here's another little thing for the guys. You may, and our guy in this example, may have gone to school and spent a lot of money and got an education
and got his degree in chemistry
or whatever. And is he using it now? See, that can be a real difficult thing for the guy going, oh, man.
To reconcile
that. I did that. That was stupid. Now I can't go back to school. I'm too old. I got the kids. I got the blah, blah, blah.
Right. Or I started this program or that and didn't finish it. Yeah.
Right. So
that's, he's carrying around all that kind of psychological baggage.
A lot of baggage to move forward. But I love how you define the quest.
Well, I'm just thinking back to us when we had no clue what we were doing. We had all kinds of fun, interesting jobs.
Yes, picking up dead cows was one.
That was the best one.
That's right.
We actually lived on a dairy.
That's a true thing. Bring out your dead cows. Bring them out.
I really tried to be a dairy wife. I did, but it's just the smell. It was just something. Anyway.
Especially dead cow smell.
That was the worst.
We were going to bottle it and try to sell it.
Oh, the fresh milk. That was so worth it. All right. We did, but we digress. Let's get back here on our trajectory. The quest, if I had just, you know, if somebody could have explained it to me, I think I might have been able to help you a little better, a little sooner. Maybe we would have settled on something much sooner.
Have had to pick up dead cows,
right,
what you're saying.
And so that's what we're going to do right now. Let's define what really helps your man find his place in this world. And let me say something as far as finding your place in this world. What will really help him thrive? Now, a guy can be totally content doing what might seem like a sort of ho-hum job.
Yeah,
I mean, that's totally his prerogative.
Exactly.
But if she, it sounds like what she really is hoping, and maybe she's putting too much pressure on him. That's another possibility.
I don't know, but it does seem that she's really focused on what he wants to do, right? Figuring out.
I hope so. If she's panicked that he doesn't have something, then that is putting undue pressure on him and probably actually hurting him more than it's helping. We want to be a help, not a hindrance or a hurt.
It can be more stress.
Right. We don't want to create more stress. So if all I'm saying is, for a man to really thrive in this world, to just achieve his ultimate potential, then I do believe that he needs this sort of idea that we're talking about, the quest. And that's when something that allows him to take his place in this world because it distinguishes him from everyone else.
Yeah, it gives him some real...
Right. If it's all about external, if he's performance-based...
Right. Uniqueness to stand out and say, this is me.
This is really me.
Not
this
you,
is me.
Not that guy.
Right. And I would say that a quest embodies, and maybe this is part of the problem for him and for others, is they don't really know who they are yet. So the quest is not only defining, it not only defines you to the world, it sort of helps you define yourself.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
You bet.
So it's going to embody his voice.
I mean, that's
value.
What it's all about, really.
You think so?
Yeah. It's that personal.
It's that personal. Yeah. That's good. I like to call it a personal tale of exertion, competition, and conquest.
Wow. Film at 11.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's because I'm a writer and I like those pretty words. But what really matters in the end?
To some people, it's just a job.
It doesn't. Wait a minute. It doesn't have to be grand.
Right,
it doesn't
right.
have to be curing cancer.
No.
It doesn't have to be pitching a no-hitter. It doesn't. It can be grand or it can be very small
whatever
scale.
Whatever turns you on and gets you up in the morning.
What really matters? What's the only thing that really matters if you're looking for this quest?
Well, it's that the guy, believes that in this process, he matters. Right?
Inside the quest.
That he has.
Whatever he chooses.
The impact.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's that he, what matters is that he matters.
Right.
Or that he believes he matters.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I really, really like that. Can you remember that, listener, letter writer? All that really matters is that he feels that he matters. So ideally, the quest will become a sort of legacy, a symbol of him, of what he believes in, what he feels most passionate about. It'll sort of represent his essence. It's the one thing in life that a man really owns completely. in his heart and mind. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so. And if you don't own it completely, then it's like, you know, it's really tough. And there's, you know, you have to kind of compromise sometimes to get the right thing. But yeah, you feel that you've really, you know, given it all and
A quest isn't necessarily a job, is it?
No, it doesn't have to be.
I mean, that's a lot of people. That's the most common embodiment.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people that have a job and then, you know, they're out and it could be a sporting thing. It could be an activity of some kind.
It could be a hobby.
Could be a hobby. Absolutely. It's what, you know, like you say, they own completely. It fulfills. It provides. It does all those things.
Hey, you know what? I'm thinking of our friend who spent his actual employment career as a flight attendant.
Yes, right.
But what was he doing on the side all that time? What was he doing?
Coaching soccer, high school soccer.
He was coaching high school teams. And he finally was able to retire.
At a relatively young age, because he started young and stayed with the airlines for his whole career.
And then now what is he doing?
He's coaching high school.
He's teaching high school. And he's never been so happy. How old is he? Is he in his 50s?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So really, he just hit his quest.
Yep.
I mean, he was doing it all along. He was dabbling in it. Now he's doing it full time and he is in all his glory.
Yeah.
He loves being a high school teacher.
That's right.
Isn't that fun? But he had a whole career. A whole career he could actually retire from before he got to that.
Yeah, true.
So it doesn't have to be a job. In fact, maybe it doesn't. You don't even want it to be a job. Who knows? Depends on the man and his personality. All right. So here, I have four things, and they all begin with S, that are going to help us define this quest. The first one is, a quest is sizable.
You can define it as a size, or you mean it's...
Well, you know, have you ever heard dream lofty dreams, and as you dream, so shall you become?
Sorry.
Well, it's a famous quote by James Allen.
I like it.
But
it's better to aim for the stars and compromise than aim for the ground and hit it.
Well, that's not as pretty a way to say, but that's exactly what it means. And what this boils down to is that to dream, you have to dream big to grow big.
Right.
A quest has to challenge. It has to be a challenge.
And it can't, but for guys too, I think what you're also saying is get rid of the misnomer that if it's too big, it's not attainable and I can't do it. And therefore, I'm not worth my time.
Or wife saying, there's no way we can do that.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's not a quest. It's not going to summon up all his masculine sort of energy and concentration and focus so that he's really going to grow into the biggest, best, most confident, most accomplished, loving self that he can be. He's just not going to find fulfillment in it if it's trivial.
Yeah, if it doesn't push you and require
you. If he's going to be invested and driven, it's just got to be bigger than he is.
Right.
So if it seems way too big, like a sweater you get from grandma at Christmas that she made too big so you'd grow into it, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay. So sizable.
Sizable.
Then showable.
Yeah. I mean, it's all
about. That's my word. I don't even know if
I agree. It's look at this just like it's a pride thing that I'm doing this and look at this. And not that you're boastful or anything, but that you're worthy of your expose.
Putting it out there.
Putting it out there.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
It's a little risky to put it out there. I think that takes a great element of creativity. So there has to be some creativity in this quest, or it's not going to be challenging. It's not going to be fulfilling. Creativity is a great motivator because it makes people interested in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's another great quote by Edward De Bono. So if your man is going to devote enormous effort to a challenge over many years, then it's got to have inherent within it the opportunity to be resourceful, visionary, inventive, right? And I've had students who said, that's what's wrong. That's why my man's not happy. That's why he can't feel fulfilled in this. This isn't really his quest because there's no outlet for creativity in it.
Okay.
Very important.
Yeah. Okay.
And I love what you're saying about it being showable or out. You're proud to put it out to the world.
So sizable and showable.
The next one is stretchable.
So the quest is stretchable?
The quest has to be stretchable, just like the video game. Think okay. of the, what do you think I'm thinking of when stretchable, if you think about that
Gumby?
Video game?
Gumby. Gumby and Pokey. I don't know, we're really dating ourselves here.
It's a long, long road.
Yeah, right? And you're going to go different directions. And
yeah, you can't know where it's going to lead yeah. you.
And not it's going to exactly. stretch you. It's also
going to It's going to. You just have to kind of start out. And it's going to be so much bigger than you, right? And it's going to be a long road. So you just choose a direction and then trust that you'll gain the talents and abilities and insights and opportunities as you go. Mm-hmm. I like to use the example of Woodrow Wilson, who is president of the United States at close to the turn of the century. And he started
Which century
out,
is that?
not this one. And
we're into our second century.
He started out as a, we're only a 200 plus year old country. He started out as a academic. He
right,
was a,
right.
you know, professor.
Right.
And over time, different opportunities elevated him to take this political tact, which was completely not
yeah,
what
never,
he,
no, never imagined
either
it.
He or his wife never expected that. So the right quest will stretch and expand as the man does, as he grows, right? So it's okay. sort of linear, but it's really more like the
well,
video get, game level by level.
Well, the video game too, you know, is what we call open world video game, where you can get in, you can go anywhere you want, you can go in any direction you want.
Oh, nice.
Right? And you'll find things over there and you'll find stuff over
okay.
on the other side.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Very good. And here's the last one. A quest is shareable. And did, you know, maybe we should go over those again. Sizable, showable, stretchable. Now, shareable. What does that mean? What do you think?
Well, I think it to really be fulfilled, you have to feel like that you're having an impact.
Ooh.
Right? That you're benefiting someone else.
Okay.
Really. To come, you know, I know when I've in my stride and the things that I really love doing, it has some outward definition
okay.
or expression
okay.
that impacts others.
That's a service to
yeah.
a greater community,
yeah, that,
whatever.
Sure.
So that could be what? That can be a product.
Yeah, it could be a service, a product.
It could be...
You know, for me, what I want...
It could be of service to even the company you work for.
Yeah, yeah. It? I know for me, and I'm presenting and speaking, you know, what fulfills me at the end of it is that everybody's had a great time and, you know, you learn something and you've got new friends and you've got new
okay.
business associates.
So
and,
really is it's interesting because the quest is about him. It's about his sense of worth and his identity and what distinguishes him and everything else that we've talked about. But it's not really going to fulfill him and help him thrive, which is what a quest is for. So it's part of the definition.
Right.
Unless it's about others.
Yeah. Yeah. It
really.
Has to be.
Interesting. And it has to be beyond you, wife, and children. It's the greater
yeah.
world.
For the guy to really feel,
right.
feel
now,
fulfilled.
Now, I'm going to say this about that. I have had, I'd say, I don't know, a handful of students who really wrestle with this. And they get so worried that their husband doesn't have a quest and they don't know what his quest is. So they're just so desperate to find a quest. And right off, right there, let me say, don't freak out, female. Don't freak out over this. This is his quest. This is his journey. This is his whatever, his opportunity. It's his life. You're not responsible to find his quest. You're just going to partner with him. And if you understand what a quest is now, what you're looking for, you're going to be able to help him just by gently asking questions. And I really recommend, actually, that you go back to a previous podcast. I'm going to guess it's episode 8 about how to help your husband when he's unsatisfied at work. Because we go into some very specific strategies that apply to what we're talking about today very well.
Dope.
But so go back to that one. Listen to that. But you don't have to feel responsible to make this happen.
There.
I had to make that disclaimer, okay? But I have lots of students who come to me.
How do you really feel about it?
You can tell I've had to answer that question too many times. I've had many students. I just said a handful, didn't I? Many. I'm going to say about a handful of students who come to me.
How long is Two Shakes of a Lamb's Tail? That's the question we're answering
tonight.
This
may apply to a handful of our listeners who said, you know, they're so desperate to find their husband's quest, which is wrong to begin with, but they feel so desperate that they'll say, you know what? I think I figured out what his quest is. His quest is making me happy.
That's it. Which is so elusive. Okay. You're always going to be on that quest. You're never
really
going to complete that quest.
That's what makes him happy. And as long as I'm happy, then he's happy. So that must
so
be his
good.
Quest.
We're
yeah.
Good.
And it's so hard to, you know, break an egg over their head, but I pop their balloon, whatever, but I want to say.
Or like a 2x4.
Well, that's a very nice idea, but that's not it. The quest has to be shareable beyond the marriage,
right,
beyond the family. And I'll tell you what, every one of those students who thought that, and that I gently and over time managed to correct, their husbands did go on to find this kind of quest and are doing phenomenally well.
And boy,
in their work.
Is she happy?
Yes. And he's happy. And she's happy. Right. And way happier than they used to be when she thought his world totally 100% revolved around her. All right. So his exertions have to be helping or motivating others in some way. And it's a given that his quest is helping you. It's a given in his mind that it's a benefit to you because it's helping and blessing the family. So this parameter has to go way, way beyond that. And you know what? He can be a leader, a team player, a teacher, a mentor, an innovator, a producer, a public servant, a private businessman. It's no matter what it is, if it's shareable, that quest is going to bring him satisfaction because he is uniquely useful to the world by providing opportunities for others as he pursues his quest. So, wrapping this up, if your guy's career path, like our letter writer, has been more of a meandering stroll than a focused climb, or is he super discouraged with the status quo? Or does it seem that one too many opportunities have passed him by?
Mm-hmm.
Our message is what would you say? I'm asking you. What's
You're
our
asking
message
me.
To that wife?
Well, first of all, it's okay.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
And it's going to be harder for others. It's going to be longer for some. And it's okay. It's all going to be for the good. It's all
Indeed.
Going to come together.
It's all going to come together.
Yeah.
Dale, I just have to say, you started out thinking you were going to be an actor, turned into being a radio broadcaster, and then it turned into a fascination with the technical side of things, and you got into technology overall in general, which led you into sort of manufacturing, research and development, right? And that kind of led you into sales and marketing because you were really looking at the broader aspect of technology. And eventually, you found a way to merge that original actor with the technology experience you had and became a technology evangelist.
It's so true.
You're on stage.
I am on stage. My job is I have come full circle, I feel like it. But what I couldn't do this without all those experiences because now I can, I say my script is a big open world, of all
that.
This knowledge and information.
And experience.
And experience and relativity to my audience. And I can get up and I can be in front of thousands of people or I can be in an office with one and have a great time. Acting.
Because you're on your quest.
Yeah.
Found it.
Yeah.
And it's sizable. It's showable. It's stretchable. It's certainly been stretchable, just like we just described. And it is definitely shareable. And I am so proud of you.
Well,
loved every minute of this ride.
Well, pretty much every minute.
being your husband's Valentine or his beloved has so much meaning to us as women, but there's so much to learn. I have a lifetime of learning for you at the Wife Savers Education Membership. Please consider joining us. Start with my free ebook, 5 Lies We Tell Brides and 5 Truths That Save Wives at wifesavers.org.
Home is with you wherever that may be.